Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to Alive to Love. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into, slide into the rabbit hole of BS, which could be bait and switch or other things you might have in your mind. But I'm looking at it as we are called to live a life of love, not to walk around baiting and switching people, trying to shame people, trying to push people toward our opinion, but to love people as an attractive force. And if our opinion has any value at all, love will bring them to see the light of our own opinion. However, if our opinion is just BS, well then love will correct us out of that rabbit hole and move us toward a life of attraction and radiance and magnetism. So that's why I'm here every week to unpack the values, the beauties, the definitions, the work of love. And it is work. It is not some easy peasy, cotton candy, cheesy idea. It is something of high value that we talk about here every week. Saturdays at 5:30, Sundays at 9:30, and it's been my honor, my privilege, and a treasure for me to spend the last 4 years on this radio broadcast talking to you about the pilgrimage of love. So we do a couple of things here routinely so that I can keep myself on the straight and narrow, keep me from drifting off into the ether of just talking to myself, which is what happens when you're recording. So I kind of am already in the ether of talking to myself, but I need an anchor. And one of those anchors is Love's Creed, something I wrote about a decade ago, made it a New Year's resolution, and it is my ongoing daily resolution now. And we've brought it here to be a creed that we can repeat. I believe in saying things out loud for our own sake, to write a verbal contract to ourselves. That's why we do creeds in church or other things. Well, like the Pledge of Allegiance. It's a written contract with our mouth, with our voice. We contract to the values we speak. So here's Love's Creed in total. Then I'll come back and give it to you like wedding vows at a marriage altar. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's it in total. Now let me go back and give it to you in short bursts. I'll say a phrase, you repeat after me. All right? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy of that, you can write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail.com. Send me a request for it, and I'll send you a written copy of it that you can put on a 3x5 card, or maybe you put it on your computer screen or in your phone or your other devices so that it's routinely and regularly available to you, so that out of that, you could start to say this for yourself as you meander through life like we all do. We're all on a journey, right? And along that journey, we need foundations. We need to know what's under us for our understanding. What am I standing on? What's under my standing? So I'll get that to you. If you want that, send a request to randydeanministries@gmail.com. Well, today's statement of purpose is pretty much a mouthful like the creed, but let me just share it with you. And it's something that I've done a recent small group with, a group of people in a recovery setting. And it really resonated with these folks because at this level of small group, they were all battling some level of codependency. And I won't go into codependency in depth here, but suffice to say, codependency is seeking to fix, manage, and control other people. Somehow, some means to fix them, to manage them, and control them. And to live your life in that kind of mindset, that's codependency. But love does this. Now, let me share this premise for today. And that is that we need to realize that we have to release some of our cherished and flawed notions of love. And when we realize that, it becomes a deeply challenging prospect. That's why I'm here. This is a pilgrimage. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We're invited to lift our view of the beauty of love to a place of meditation, a place of prayer, and a life-altering contemplation. To rescue love from oversimplification and reduction may well become the next true spiritual revolution. I'm going to take the word may out of there. I think rescuing love from oversimplification and reduction has become the next true spiritual revolution, and I'm just tickled pink to be here in the middle of that revolution. Perhaps my pebble in the water created enough of a ripple effect to make this go on and on and on throughout humanity. Love alone is credible. Hans Urs von Balthasar, a Catholic theologian, said one time that love alone is the credible truth. It's the credible value. It's the only credible way of conducting our life. Because if we're conducting our life with the sense that, well, I'm right, you're wrong, shut up and listen to me, well, we're just realizing that all of life is just about me. And it's not about really the collective of humanity. The collective of humanity is what life is really all about. And to move toward realizing that we need to release some of our cherished and flawed notions of love is a really deeply challenging prospect. So that's why I'm going to talk about that today. I'm going to invite you to lift your view of the beauty of love. Lift it to some other place than just a country song or a rock song or Frank Sinatra song. I'm not opposed to any of those. I'm a little more in favor of rock. But anyway, that's another story. You don't want to hear all about that. But I want to invite you to lift your view of the beauty of love beyond simple poetry or simple songs. They're fine, but they're not challenging. They're not deeply motivating us to a life that could be so much more inviting to those that are around us, that they simply say, you know, that person loves. If I'm around them, I know love is in the room. But that makes me think of something that I want to offer you too. So when we're challenged about what to say or what to do with people, just stop and consider. And this will be part of the life-altering contemplation. Consider this. What would love say? What would love do? So what would love say in any given situation? What would love do in any given stance of life? What would love say? Would love say something shaming or blaming or angry or retributive or battling? Or like the phrase I said earlier, hey, I'm right, you're wrong, shut up, let's talk. that's so absurd, but yet that's the way many of us have been kind of trained to live our life. Hi, I'm right. How are you? Well, I guess I'll have to tell you right up front, I'm right, you're wrong, and God bless you, but can we just talk, because I need you to shut up and listen to me. We've all been, whether overtly or covertly, we've been trained to live like that. So I'm inviting you to raise your sights. And that's why for 4 years I've been here asking you to reconsider the prospect of the beauty and the significance, the life-altering journey of love, to get off of the dime, get off of, I used to say when I preached every Sunday, I'd talk to my congregation, I said, we need to get up out of our pews and do something with this. I'm suggesting all of you listening to rise from your pew and be a loving human being, to alter society, not by changing laws, but by rescuing love from oversimplification, to lift your view of love to a place of meditation. Let me just stop there for a moment. Lift your view to a place of meditation. Meditation is this. It's what you contemplate or think about consistently. The word meditation finds its roots in what cows do with their cud. They're chewing it, and they're chewing it, and they're chewing it, right? Well, and then occasionally they swallow it into one of those multiple stomachs they have to digest a little bit. But as most of you know, a cow will regurgitate whatever they've gotten a belly full of, and then they bring it back up for another chewing session. That's the word meditation. I'm sorry, it maybe starts your day wrong. Maybe you're sitting down at the breakfast table. Sorry to have intruded on you like that, but that's what meditation is. It's chewing on a thought, chewing on a reality, chewing on the beauty of something, getting all the flavor out of it you can, and then swallow. Put it down in your brain to digest, to hold for a little bit, to give it time to settle, and then bring it back up into your mind to consider, how does this work? That's what meditation is. And by the way, people who say, oh, I just can't meditate. I tried and it just put me to sleep. I would propose that you change that view to understand we're all meditating. Even while I'm talking right now, I'm meditating. Because somewhere in the corner of my brain, I've got other thoughts cooking up there. I've got other to-do lists cooking up in my 70-year-old brains. Not any wonder I forget what I came into a room to pick up, because I've got 14 other things I'm meditating on. But we all meditate. We all have that just constant regurgitation of some other thought going on in there. Now, to that end, how about harnessing that power? That's what I'm saying here with meditation. Harness the power of your meditations. Since we're all meditating, harness that power. Use it for good and growth. Use it for the rising of your own life and your lifestyle. I wrote a book many years ago called Radiance. I'm convinced that we all carry a glow of some sort. Some of our glow is just like a little 8-watt bulb that needs a little help. But others have they just have this full lighthouse radiance to them. They're shining bright. But the point is, there is a radiance available to us if we will harness the power of our meditations to make our thoughts our life. Then out of that life, to put back into our thoughts. How can I say it better, live it better, be that better? Like I said earlier, when we're challenged about what to say or to do, stop and consider. What would love say? What would love do? That's part of the meditation of love. I'm also asking you to lift your view to the beauty of the beauty of love to a place of prayer. Now, prayer isn't just asking God to do stuff. Prayer is the conversation we have with God. Prayer is the conversation that we light up into the heavens, and when we pray the Lord's Prayer. And we regard that in the Lord's Prayer really is a formula for love. You ever thought about that? Listen to the Lord's Prayer again. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Did you consider love in the middle of that prayer? Did you consider that perhaps that whole prayer is about love? The whole first sentence is about our Father, which is to say we are all a family. And how does a family thrive except through love? Our Father in heaven, your name is hallowed. again, that's not about some strict law that says you can't say some phrase about God that suddenly you've used the name of the Lord in vain. No, to use the Lord's name in vain is to fail to attach love in your regard for that name. You would never say that name unless it was love. You're determined to say that name with only love in your voice or in your heart for that divine entrepreneur, that holy higher power that you adore and worship. So love is in that Our Father, that regard of the hallowed, the separate use of that name that's only for God. You know, my dad was my dad. I never called him Earl. I would have been afraid to, for one thing, but frankly, Dad, those three letters has a charming view in my heart. Hey, Dad. So I carry a hallowed view of dad and fatherhood in my own life as a father and a dad to my children and to my grandchildren. I'm Papa to my grandchildren. Those syllables sound like magic when I hear them. So that's what hallowed be thy name. And let me skip through in the Lord's Prayer about that whole thing about forgiveness. Yeah, let's not forget that. To forgive is not to forget, but to forgive is to release yourself. You're the prisoner here, not the person that committed some crime or some personal cross hairs with you. No, to forgive is to recognize I'm being held prisoner by my ongoing, you got it, meditation of what they did, my ongoing contemplation to think again about how they did it, when they did it. Now, remember what I said. Forgiveness isn't forgetfulness. It means that when I remember it, I roll it into love. I roll it toward love, and where love says they only knew what they knew and they didn't know better, and that's why they behaved in that manner. So I'm going to move on. I'm going to move my meditation toward bigger and better things. I'm going to put my mind in some other place other than the low dredges of some pain somebody caused me. It's a matter of saying, may they be healthy, may they be happy, may they find love, peace, and joy, and then walk away from contemplating what needs to be forgiven. So to recognize that I can remember it, but I can also remember it with forgiveness in mind. So that's the Lord's Prayer as it relates to praying and raising love to the vista of our prayers. And raising our prayers to the vista of love. Did I say that twice? Whatever the case may be, let's raise prayer through love to something greater, more beautiful, more practical, more ongoing in its contemplation for our life. And create an understanding of love that is a life-altering contemplation. So while I may meditate and I may pray through my love, am I really, really, really seeing it as a life-changing contemplation? This alters who I am. This alters my personality. It alters my routines. It alters how I see people, how I see the world around me. To say that you love something is a valuable contemplation as well. So I can say, wow, it's November. I love the November gales. I don't want to live in November all my life, but there's something about November weather that stirs, and I'm talking about me now, something about November that does stir something down inside of me. I grew up on the shores of Lake Michigan, not right on the shores in a home there, I wish, but no, I grew up close enough to Lake Michigan. I could go there any day I chose, and to go there and in high school and some of my loneliest and most painful high school days, I would go build a bonfire on Lake Michigan and just look out over the waters and listen to the cold wind coming off of the lake. I'm saying this as this is a lifestyle for me. The colder, the more November gale it was, the better that bonfire felt for me on a closed and quiet beach area. And then if I could ever get view of an iron ore boat sailing or some cargo ship sailing out over the horizon and watch the lights as the sun was setting, and in November to watch those ships rise to the horizon and then dive below the horizon and see that light go below my visual was absolutely magic for me. It before I knew what prayer was, that was how I prayed. It was how I would let my cares go off the edge of the earth, as it were, to go beyond the sunset out there, to go beyond the horizon on the lake and watch that light disappear was for me a parable of how I've got to let go of the pains that were haunting me. And I had plenty of them in that day. So letting go of stuff was how I lived a life-altering contemplation. So today what I'm talking about is rescuing love from oversimplification and to rescue it from the reduction mindsets that we've had. That may well become the next true spiritual revolution. And I said earlier, I'm going to take the word may out of that and say, this is the next true spiritual revolution, so that when we're challenged about how to face life, when we're challenged by people's behavior, when we're challenged by wrongs done to us, when we're challenged by anything, by anywhere, we would say, what would love say? Or we would say, what would love do? And from that, we're creating a life-altering contemplation, a life-altering sense of how my life is going to be better and not bitter. My life is aimed at a target out there that's so much more grand and so much more healthy, so much more illuminating for my internal world. I've said this often throughout my ministry, and that is, beware of your internal world, because the longer it stays dark, the more likely it is to become dark around you. Your internal reality will eventually become your external reality. So if your externals are dark and joyless, let me invite you to light the fire inside of you, even a small fire. Only a spark is required to get a fire going. One song, now I'm going to have it in my head. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. So start with a spark inside. Light a fire in you that becomes a new reality, a new sense of purpose. And if nothing else, well, if the highest value would be, let the spark of love be the new fire in your internal reality. Contemplate self-love. Contemplate, meditate, and pray over love for God. Contemplate love for others. Even loving your enemy is what Jesus said. Jesus wasn't suggesting we're torturing ourselves by loving our enemy. He's suggesting we recreate our inner world. Recreate something inside that, rather than an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, bomb for bomb, bullet for bullet, let's recreate a new world of love, even for our enemy. All right, well, I got to bring this radio broadcast jet plane in for a landing. So buckle up, buttercup. We're going to do a couple of things here that I do at every closing of the No BS Bishop. And one is to invite you to breathe well. So when you're meditating and contemplating, you're breathing steady. You're giving yourself good, deep, solid, healthy breaths. On the count of three, I want you to take a deep breath, hold it, and then exhale. All right? One, two, three. Inhale to your diaphragm. And hold it right there. And exhale. Kind of hard to give you instructions while I'm holding my breath, but it helps me too. Slows your heart rate down, lowers your blood pressure. Breathing well is one of the most basic building blocks of living well. And then second, and it's a lot like the first one, and it is to say with intention and complete connection to somebody somewhere, look them in the eye, startle them, alert them. Give them the notion, hey, it's about to get weird. I'm going to say something. The three most holy, magical words in the human language. They're charmed and beautiful, and here they are. I love you. Slow them down. Make eye contact. It'll do you good. It'll do the person you're giving it to good. you'll light that little fire inside of them, perhaps. And if nothing else, you'll light a fire in yourself, that you gave yourself to those holy, charmed, magical, beautiful words, I love you. And when you do, when we do that, something gets really mixed in a beautiful way. I view it like I'm not a baker, but I make pancakes now and then, and I like to stir that batter. I like to see all the lumps get removed out of that batter. It's when we say, I love you. It should be intended for a contemplation and a meditation and even a prayer to get all the lumps out of the batter. So join me in that practice, would you? Let's startle a stranger or two along the way. And especially as we're now in the season of Thanksgiving coming up on Christmas, let's say, I love you more and more and more along the way. I appreciate you being here today. It's been a pleasure to chat with you and to challenge you, to invite you to a new level of understanding the power of love. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. It's always my honor and pleasure to have a half an hour of your life and time. And now I just want to say as I close, I love you. And now go out there in this big, struggling, dark world and let's do something beautiful. Because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. Let's rise and shine in the power of love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.